Well, I think our first ever fellowship dinner, bread before the bread, turned out pretty well. So I had a good time. What's that? Won't be anything new for you, Steve. Let him who has ears here. Yeah, you're gonna have to start listening to music back there with a little bit bigger, faster beat to it. Okay, in Revelation chapter 12, let's take a moment to make sure that each one of us is walking by faith in the Spirit, trusting God to teach us, to show us, to enlighten us to the truth, and therefore we can enjoy our fellowship with Him. Let's pray. Father, once again, we thank you for the many blessings that you've given us. We thank you for the blessing of physical freedom that we appreciate and enjoy in our nation. But most of all, we thank you for that freedom which no one can take from us, and that is spiritual freedom. Now, Father, I pray that as we spend some time with you today in Scripture, that God the Holy Spirit would just teach us. Thank you for the good time that we had in our fellowship earlier as we ate. And now we thank you for the good time that we have with our fellowship with you as we feast upon the precious manna from heaven. These things I pray in Christ's name. Amen. We have entered a little study in Revelation chapter 12. And in verse 1, a great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. And remember that I told you that chapters 12 and 13 of Revelation is parenthetical. In other words, these events actually took place before the events in the earlier chapters. And what we have in this chapter is how the beast, the dictator, revived Roman Empire, etc., how they got on the earth. Remember, there was a war in heaven, and Michael attacks Satan and his army, and he throws him out of heaven. And then, that all happens in the last half of the tribulation, and that warfare spills over on the earth. Now, in verse 1, we saw the word wondrous sign. And this word in the Greek, simeon, tells us that we're not to take this literally, but we're to see it as a sign of something else. And what God the Holy Spirit is doing, He is using something which is not literal to guide us into something which is literal. This is a great sign. And we went from there to Genesis 37, 9 and 10, where Jacob, he dreamed yet another dream and told his brethren and said, "Behold, I dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars paid homage to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brother indeed come to bow down ourselves to you, to the earth?" And so he had a sign in this dream. And there were only 11 stars because Jacob was the 12th star. And what we had in Genesis chapter 37 is really the first sign of the zodiac, or the 12 different signs in heaven. And it's interesting to me, and some of you are going to start talking about the zodiac, and, "Oh, my God, we're going into astrology." Don't worry. But Here is God who has created the universe. And he creates the universe to tell a story. And in the 12 signs of the zodiac, it describes God's plan for the universe. It describes the battle between God's hero, Jesus Christ, and Satan's hero, Lucifer. And in almost every sign, we have the same thing. God wins, or if you want a different title, would be Lucifer loses. Depends on how you want to look at it. And that's really the story told throughout the zodiac. And it's just so interesting to look at it. Now, as I told you, for the first couple of thousand years of human history, outside the garden, the zodiac was used to give the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we saw last week, it's quite obvious to me at least, that God would explain the zodiac to Adam. We saw that it's just in history. Start all the way down. We start with the earliest civilization, the Sumer civilization, and we have a zodiac, and the 12 signs of the zodiac are all explained, and there we are. And so how do we get it? And each person, no matter where you go, Egyptian, Chinese, whatever, everybody just knew about it. How did they know about it? And if you've ever looked at the signs of the zodiac, there's no way you can look at the constellations and say, oh, yeah, I see that. There's the Virgin Mary with the child. There's just no way. Well, I believe that, obviously, God designed it, he explained it to Adam, and as we saw last week, what? There was, 106 years between the death of Adam and the birth of Noah. Kind of puts things in perspective. And so, Adam is telling each one of his children, all the way down through Methuselah and on, about the zodiac. Here's God's plan. God wins. Now, Bullinger says that or thinks that the zodiac was on top of the Tower of Babel, and I probably agree with him. But the thing is that the zodiac was designed by God to give us the gospel, and like everything else that's designed to give us the gospel, Lucifer takes it over, changes it, distorts it, and what does the zodiac tell us today? It tells us man's story, not God's. You can look at the paper every day and read your horoscope. And just to make sure I was right, I picked one. Okay? Now, I ran off a little stuff from the internet on horoscope. And this person says, the horoscope of an individual is essentially a circular diagram of our sun with its rotating planets drawn for the time and date of birth and taken from the point of view of the birthplace. The positions of the sun, moon, and earth of each of the planets in the solar system is mathematically calculated and placed around the wheel according to its precise position, just as a map is drawn. This replica of the solar system offers images that tell the story of our history. Notice this. You see? The zodiac was designed to tell the history of God, the history of the prophecy of Christ in Virgo, all the way through. One of the great signs is of the Holy Spirit. But now what it says, oh no, it's about you, it's about man. See, humanism. Tells about character development, early life conflict, natural gifts, and what we offer the world in which we live. An individually drawn horoscope is far more informative than a sun sign book or a newspaper column in describing who we really came in the world to be. You see that? Look, you don't need to walk in the Spirit to be the person God designed you to be. You just need to read your horoscope. Now, somebody's going to hear that and say, oh, that's what I thought. Now, he says, the time of an individual's birth can be used to calculate what is known as the ascendant or rising sign. We are looking for the zodiac sign that was ascending in the eastward horizon at the moment of the first breath. It symbolizes how we are likely to approach anything new throughout life. The ascendant often describes the circumstances of our literal birth and earliest months of life. The appearance and traits of one's rising sign is usually visible as a characteristic style of behavior. It is worn much as we wear clothing, both as protection and as a way to move about in the world. As we come to know another individual better, the signs of the sun, moon, and the planets of the horoscope become more apparent. Now, I just wanted to see, I'll skip some part where it says, your zodiac sign. Contrary to popular belief, the sun sign is not who you are. Boy, was I glad to hear that. But who you are becoming during this existence. Some people identify firmly with their sign and others do not. Now, this is very important. Why? Because you're going to read advice in your zodiac day, and you say, well, this doesn't apply to me. Why? You just haven't lived enough lives yet. The variations are usually related to whether the moon or any of the planets were in the same section of the zodiac as the sun at birth. See, why does mine not look right? Well, because the planets were wrong. If the sun sign has support of one or more planets, an individual is more likely to recognize himself in the trait description. It is fairly common for a person to feel affinity for the sign preceding or following the birth sign. This is due to the fact that planets, Mercury and Venus, are often located one sign away from the sun, and the traits they represent may confuse the issue. Okay? Now, and so they have all these different signs in one place. They said that, you know, you just haven't evolved enough for it to really be true for you yet, but it will. Now, I thought I would read you mine. I know what I am because they have a date, September the 23rd through October the 22nd. I was able to figure out I was born between those two dates, and I'm a Libra. And very bright and social. This stuff may be true. Effective with language. Now, here's how we know. When were you born, Steve? Oh, okay. Because this describes both of us. And so I thought it might, you know. Deliberate about practicing social skills and manners. Good at arbitration and diplomacy. Searches for win-win solutions that make everyone happy. If that's not Steve, and if that's not me, I don't know who it could be. Desires peace at any cost. Even if, that's Steve, even if it means stifling personal feelings or attitudes. Avoids conflict or competition. More comfortable with intellect than emotion. Performs best when sharing activity with a partner or peer. Struggles with parenthood, yes, until children are old enough to leave home. No, communicate. Will move to balance anything, including a relationship, with things off center. Wow. Now, yeah. Well, but I read that for it. What do you think? I mean, you read that and would you say, yeah. If that was you, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's me. Yeah. Sure. They want to be it. They want to be it. Yeah. Let's go to, look at Romans chapter 1. Look at verse 20. We'll start at verse 18 and get to paragraph. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. First of all, inside of us, we just know the gospel. We know there's a God. But in the ancient world, they had the zodiac, and it gave them the gospel. Look at Romans still, chapter 10. In verse 17 and 18. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice, the voice of the gospel, has gone out into all the earth. Their word to the ends of the world. Look at Job 26. And verse 13. By his breath, the skies became fair. His hand pierced the fleeing serpent. Now that's one of the earlier signs of the zodiac. And all throughout the zodiac is the serpent, the scorpion, the dragon, whatever. It's everywhere. Now, some people said last week, what does the zodiac look like? And so, but you can't read that, can you? But this was the best. I looked all over today trying to find a better copy on the internet, and I just couldn't do it. So I ran the Austin copy of this one, so at least you can see a zodiac. Because I know some of you are uninitiated. One of those is it, dude. You and I, you can't read it. I got one for her. Now, when you look at that, I think, you can see, I told you why, you know, that if we looked at these stars, and you may notice that none of the stars are in these different shapes. You can go outside and look tonight. Okay, look at 3 o'clock and we see Virgo. Well, 3 o'clock, if I have it. No, because I had it upside down. Well, 3:30. Yeah. Oh, no wonder. I had it wrong side out, and then I kept looking at it. Let me look and see if I can. I got it wrong again. I'm going to try it one more time. No, that should be, you know, I know I did a transparency, which should be backwards. Okay, you see a problem that I have? Because, no, you, here we go, right here. That's it. Okay, here, no, that's still not right. How did I do that? No, God needs to be at 4 o'clock. No, see right here, it's at 9, but it shouldn't be there. Ah, there we go. Yes, thank you. Yeah, right next to Libra. I know I'll get it in a minute. Okay, here we go. Here's Virgo, but see, you just see a few stars. And it's right here at 3 o'clock, 3:15 is Virgo. See the woman holding the keys from the corn? See her right here? Okay, do you see her? Now, this is where our zodiac starts, is right here. Ends with Leo, starts here. But I think if you look at her, you will see that it's very difficult to go and say, oh, yeah, see about 4 stars and, oh, yeah, how dumb. Of course, I recognize that. So that's why I say we could see just the outline of these stars, and we could each get 20 guesses as to name it, and none of us would name it the same thing. Yes. Yeah. He just sees these constellations. Yeah, because, okay, what they see is, of course they don't see the Southern Cross, but they see example of a constellation, which is Leo. 6, 7, 8 stars you can see with the naked eye. But the lion is just something that someone said. It's a lion. Who was that someone? I believe that someone was God. And we have the whole gospel given in this zodiac. So we have Virgo, who is the virgin. And what's interesting is, you can go through all of the early mythology, Eastern mythology. She's called all different names, but she's the virgin. Mm-hmm. That constellation. They have the same zodiac with the same name. And the same story. Especially in the early zodiac. Now, in the ancient Egyptian temple, going back over 4,000 years, in the temple of Isha, there's One of the rooms has a great painting of the zodiac on the temple ceiling, and then it has a big sphinx right in the middle of the zodiac between Virgo, or the Virgin, and Leo, the lion. And she's looking at Virgo, and her tail is pointing at the lion. And in a lot of the ancient works, the ancient books, they have that same zodiac, which simply says, this is where we start. This is where we're going to start. With Virgo, with the virgin birth of Christ. Doesn't look any... I want to find one of these where you just see a few stars without the virgin on there, the woman, and then you would say, yeah, I think I got one of those too. You would say, no. No way. No way. Yet, through 5,000-6,000 years of history now, we have the zodiac all calling her the virgin. And not one civilization saying, this is where it came from. Not one, it's just there. It is new. It is new. And what we have, prophecy of Genesis 3, the seed of the woman, the virgin, is going to destroy the seed of the serpent, Lucifer. And if you look all the way through, you see the serpent, you see the scorpion, you see the serpent here, the hydra, everywhere. We'll just see it all over the place. And that's from Genesis 3. And so, what I was thinking about, and I wonder about, is I wonder if in the garden, before man falls, if God is showing Adam the constellations and explaining to him the history of the universe, the future of the universe. It's going to be this great complex. I think that's probably when it came. And if that's the case, then think about this. The universe, that's first creation. And therefore, all of these constellations would be there before the fall of Satan. And so there's Lucifer on the earth. There's Lucifer, the high priest of God. And what's he taught? The conflict that will occur between God's enemy and God. God's hero and Satan's hero. I think probably. What I'm wondering is, what did he think before his fall? What? I can beat this. When you think about it, it shows the sovereignty of God, the love of God, and the omnipotence of God. I'll show you my plan before you even think to rebel. And show you how it's all going to end. But, if God tells you that, you have to believe it. Correct? If you don't believe it, no big deal. Now, Virgo, notice, if you can look, she is holding in her right hand a branch. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and You shall call his name Emmanuel. Zechariah 3:8, hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at, for behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Zechariah 6:12. And so he's holding the branch. On the other hand, he's holding a sheaf of corn. You might remember the Lord said, unless a kernel of corn fall to the ground and die, won't be resurrected. Can't bear fruit. Now, Virgo, the first sign of the zodiac, then, was designed by God to be a constant reminder of the promise of God. To Israel, so important to Israel, that God would be faithful to Israel. Now, the brightest star, you can see it right here. It's at the left hand. The brightest star is, in the Hebrew, literally means branch. Jeremiah 23:5-6, behold, the day comes, says the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice on the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. The psalmist says he determines the number of the stars, and he calls them by name. So I can see the Lord, Adam, walking in the garden, looking at the stars. Let me ask the ladies, was it fun being with a guy who could tell you all the constellations and tell you about them? Now, if you think that's fun, what do you think? How much fun do you need to be with a guy that made them? Okay? Now, Adam, do you see this one right here? That one is, you know, light years away. Let me tell you how big it is. And he could tell you all about it. Gravitational pull, the heat, the composition. Yeah, he could tell you all. I mean, this guy, Jesus knew. So they're talking about all these things. He names the stars. He calls them by name. And the word name has the idea of also reputation, their meaning. Psalms 147. Now, the bright star, Zenith, in Virgo's hand there, has to do, it's connected with the omniscience of God. And so here we have Virgo, and then we have, notice right to her right, inside, that one of the three smaller constellations that go with Virgo, we have Coma. And that's one of the signs that is assigned to Virgo. And Coma in Hebrew means the desired one. The long for one. Psalm 63:1. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Long for. Now, this is the virgin. This is the child, the Christ child. And the idea is that Christ is the one who will be longed for, desired. Jesus Christ is to be the object of desire. Now, Abu Mazen, who's an astronomer in the 8th century, I'm sure most of you have read him, here's what he says. There arises in the first decan. The decan, there are three decans with Virgo. And Coma is the first one. We'll see the horse in a minute, but that's the first one. So he says, there arises in the first decan a young woman whose Persian name is, I'm going to butcher this, Andriyasiya. Some words have too many consonants for me. A pure and immaculate virgin, holding in the hand two ears of corn, sitting on a throne, nursing an infant, in the act of feeding him, who was a Hebrew name, the boy, I say, by some nations called Esau, with the significance of Esau, which we in Greek call Christos. Okay? Interesting. At least for me. Now, again, the zodiac was used as the gospel. It began to be really infiltrated Tower of Babel. An astronomer in Alexandria lived between 283 and 222 BC, began to alter it. That's how Satan then began to alter these things, and I read you the astrology report, so you could see how he took something that God tells the plan of the universe, his plan for the ages, and moves it into man's plan. What man can do. That's what Satan always does. Well, no, the layout's the same. Some of the pictures are a little bit different. They just change the name and they change the means. Okay? And now they say, the sun passes here and the planets are here, and you're born in the sign of Libra, the scales, and with the sun and the moon, the planets this way, then this is how your life is to be, and these are the things, your characteristics that are good, and these are what you need to work on, and today you need to, like one of them said, don't tell anybody any real secrets that could come back to haunt you or something, use them to hurt you. Oh, well, whoopee. See? So, all of these things, we'll get to the cross. See the cross down here, the Southern Cross? The Southern Cross was visible every night right overhead in Jerusalem until the crucifixion wasn't seen again. In the 16th century, when some mariners were going down and they went south of the Cape of Good Hope and they saw the Southern Cross, they were absolutely amazed because they'd read about it, heard about it, knew all about it. No one had seen it. Isn't that interesting? Only from the Southern Hemisphere. They couldn't see it from Jerusalem. It was seen from Jerusalem until the crucifixion. We have no record of it being seen after that. What? Well, Johannesburg is in the Southern Hemisphere. You can also see it from Australia. But you might notice that Jerusalem is in the Northern Hemisphere. No, the brightest star in this constellation, in Virgo. Yeah. Okay? Okay. So, that's Virgo. This is the first decan. The second one is right down here. You can see part man, part horse. Okay? And that's Centaur. C-E-N-T-A-U-R. It is a centaur. Now, he is Centaur Centurius. He is the boy that we saw in the lap here. Now he's a man. But he's a man on a horse. Just think about that. What does that tell you about Christ? Well, he swift, but what else does he tell you? You have horse and man. Two natures. Two different natures. Hypostatic union. Now, I want you to think about this. Here is Adam. Some of you, if you ever just read Genesis 3:15, and you're wondering, how did Adam get the gospel out of that? He already knew this. Adam, I believe, Adam knew the gospel before he was lost. Adam could have gone right up to it. You remember what I told you? Right next to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the middle of the garden was what? Tree of life. Now, it should have been encased in glass with a sign that said, in case of sin, break glass. Eat of this fruit. Alicia. I have a hard time hearing it way up here. It has to do with the seed of the woman, the seed and the corn, okay? Has to do with the seed of the woman in Genesis 3:15. He's holding the seed, also the branch. See, they go together. And what happened to the seed? It fell to the earth, correct? And it died. And then it came back. It was resurrected. It had fruit. Do you see that? Now, so we have a hypostatic union here. Lo and behold, who would have thunk that? And notice he's now a man. He has a spear. He has a shield. He's ready to go into battle with Satan. His Hebrew name is Bazar, which means despised one. Isaiah 53:3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Is that Jesus? Yeah. Bazaar. Now, in Greek mythology, here's how they changed this a little bit. But what interests me is Lucifer deceives, changes, and counterfeits. Remember something about a counterfeit? Anything that's counterfeit, it has to have some quality of what's real, correct? You're going to make a counterfeit $20 bill? It needs to be the approximate size of a $20 bill. You know, if you make it out of, or you say, well, you know, it's just so much easier to use 8x10 crepe paper. They'll probably catch you. Now, in Greek mythology, the centaurs were born in heaven and of the clouds. They were the sons of the gods, and they were hated by both gods and mankind, and they were driven into the mountains. The most famous centaur in Greek mythology is called Chiron. And he was known for his hunting, for his medicine, for his music, for his teaching, and for his prophecy, and he was thought to be immortal. Now listen to this. He voluntarily agreed to die, and he transferred his immortality to someone else. be a picture of Jesus? Jerome? Yeah. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. No, Sharon is Greek and Sharon is Hebrew. Now, notice that he's killing an animal. We don't know what this animal is. And some mythologies, it's a wolf, and in others, it's a lamb, but it's called a victim. And this is the hypostatic union of Christ, kills the victim, but notice, what is he over? He's on the cross. This victim is Christ himself. Is that a question, Dan? The victim is outside, just, you know, kind of like 4 o'clock from Virgo. So this is the victim right here. That's the victim. Turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I understand my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life on behalf of the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. They're not Jews, they're Gentiles. It is necessary to bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock, in the church age, one flock in union with Christ, and one shepherd. For this reason my Father loves me, is that I lay down my life in order to take it up again. Look at verse 18. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority, the power, the right to lay it down, and the authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. That's right. Willingly going to the cross to pay for our sins. Can you ever imagine a conversation going like this? Lord, this is from Adam. Now don't go home and say, John said that this conversation happened between God and Adam. I said, imagine. It's a possibility. You cannot prove it didn't happen. Not even Ray, because he wasn't in the garden. Now, imagine this conversation. Adam's looking. What does all this mean, you know? Well, could you imagine maybe God telling, maybe Adam is saying, why are we here? You think that might be a legitimate question? I know none of us have ever asked that. Why am I here? What's my purpose on earth? But can you imagine, if you're talking to God, why not ask? God, why did you make me? It's got to be more than just to have fellowship. What's going on here? Well, Adam, let me tell you about the most magnificent creature I ever made. His name is Lucifer, son of the morning. Oh, when I made the... You just can't believe the set of pipes I gave that guy. You can't believe his power, his beauty. He was my high priest. Everything that all the angels knew about me, they knew from him. He was the representative between us. And one day he turned against me and decided that he would take my crown. Well, we'll see this next week. Here's the crown and here's the serpent. trying to take the crown. Isn't that interesting? And he tried to take my crown. And the angel fell. And so they needed a savior. And so, do you see that constellation up there? That's Virgo. Now, if you look at it, let me draw this for you, and you can see this. Jesus is a pretty good drawer, okay? Do you see the branch? That's going to be me. Do you see the seeds of corn that are going to fall to the earth and die and then sprout up, resurrected, have fruit? That's me. From the virgin, I'm going to be born. Now, right away, Adam probably has a question. What's a virgin? He learned. He says, well, this probably doesn't apply to me because I only know one woman and she's no longer a virgin. Trust me. And that baby is one that's going to be desired and longed for by the human race, And then we see this constellation over here. That baby is unique man. See, this is someone who was half man, half horse. That's unique. Seen too many of those? No. How many people have been both true humanity and true deity in one person? Just one. He's a unique person of the universe. He is going to give up his own life on the cross for the one who tried to capture his crown. From the seed of the woman, Adam, is going to come the Savior. I suspect, I really believe this conversation somehow like that probably occurred, and I suspect Adam is thinking, well, that's nice, but what is that to me because I ain't lost. And Jesus should have said, yet. Do you see that? And so he goes and tells him that he is going to take his own life. So do you see Jesus taking his life on the cross? And then he may say, you know, Adam, look right under coma. Do you see booties? You have a summary of the history. Adam looks and says, well, I see some stars, but I don't see what you have. Well, so let me draw this out for you. And so, can you see booties? He's running. Correct? He's in a hurry. He's coming. He's charging. Notice what he's holding in his hand. A sickle. He's a punk, no. Ah, what does the sickle represent? Harvest. What else is he holding? It's a spear. Okay? Now, the Egyptians called buti, or boti, smart. One who rules, one who subdues, one who governs. The name bote comes from the Hebrew bo, and it means come. He is the coming one, the ruler of the earth. There's his son. When is he coming? Soon. Rapidly. To rule the earth. When is he coming? What? After the cross. after his resurrection. That's a picture of Christ as the ruler of the earth. And so first, we saw Virgo, the virgin, who has the child born of a woman, who's to be desired, who is the hypostatic union, the Messiah, the Savior, who gives up his own life on the cross for mankind. And one day he's coming back to the earth. As the great conqueror. I think you can see Peter's star right here, kind of up on his not that, I'm looking at the wrong one. This star right here up in his head, big one. You see it right there, kind of on its cheek? That's called Nakar. The word means the pierced. He's the pierced one. The pierced one is coming to judge the earth. So, with the spear, judgment, but with the sickle, he's going to bring blessing, reward. Judgment and reward. Judgment to the lost, reward to the saved. So look at Revelation 14. Verse 14. I looked, and there before me was a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was one like a son of man, with a crown of gold on his head, and a sharp sickle in his hand. Then another angel came out of the temple and called in a loud voice to him who was sitting on the cloud, "Take your sickle and reap, because the time to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." And so he who was seated on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was harvested. Notice that in Virgo, I think we have the entire gospel given. Really? Can you see it? Once again, how did people know the gospel? How did they know other than just word of mouth, per se, from Adam? From the Zodiac. And the Zodiac, all over the earth, of course, you know, it was all in one spot before the flood. From the virgin birth to the hypostatic union to the death of Christ on the cross to him coming back as the conqueror. Yes, Larry. But you see, you know, we're told two things. That you know, the heavens declare. They know inside. We have this zodiac that really gives the gospel. And so can you see how before you had a lot of the printed page, someone could draw the zodiac, and as we get through with this Virgo, they could give you the gospel. And so then, what does the person do? Some said yes, some said no. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's the zodiac is in every civilization. Everyone. And it's all the same 12 signs. You have to see the hand of God in that. I'm telling you, except for the Southern Cross, none of these look like anything they are. None of them. No. Look at, when we get to Libra, the scales. See scales there? Yeah. The scorpion. Satan. Notice how huge the scorpion is. Humongous. What do we get? And we see where God is holding the serpent. Holding down his power. All the way through, we see the gospel. We see the entire plan of the ages and of the battles between God and Lucifer over and over and over again. And next week, we'll take up the Libra. Libra is redemption. Redemption. The brightest star in Libra is called, in the English, the price deficient. It's a picture of mankind being weighed in the scales and found wanting. We don't have what it takes. We cannot measure up to God's righteousness. And in the upper scale, this is the lower scale, this is the upper scale. In the upper scale, there's a bright star right there that I think you can see called Zubin Tamir, and it means the price which covers. When we get there, we'll see a star. You see a star right here. It's outside of Libra, outside of the scales, but it's very bright right there. Interesting star. That star means the price of a conflict. It refers to what it cost Jesus Christ to redeem us. So, that's what we'll see starting there next week. And in some of the pictures of the zodiac, the scorpion has a hold of the scales, showing that what he tries to do is distort the gospel and distort mankind into thinking that he can achieve his own redemption through his own good work. He takes care of his scorpion. Notice his heel is clutching the scorpion's head. Well, I know when I said this a couple of weeks ago, some of you looked at me like I had lost it. Which is very possible. But do you see some things in the zodiac? Do you see Christ? Do you see God's hand? And then I read you the astrology. See how Satan has distorted it? Just like he's distorted the gospel. Well, I thought we would be through Scorpio tonight, but we didn't. Father, thanks for the time we've had to come together and to worship you. Thank you for the signs of the stars. Going back 7,000 years. and just tell of your plan. It shows us over and over again your love for us, your willingness to pay the price for our sins, willingly give your own life so that we might have eternal life. Father, sometimes in the pressures of life, and the things that go on in our life that we don't understand, we wonder, what are you doing now, God? Father, I just pray that you realize that your Son was willing to give his own life so that we might have eternal life, that we would begin to grasp how much you really love us, and therefore trust your life. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.